What you're about to experience is one man's quest to see beyond the tumultuous period we're in and to envision what lies just beyond our grasp, yet well within our reach. Welcome to Larry Rifkin's America Trends, where the future has arrived, and it's just in time.
Welcome back to America Trends. Larry Rifkin along with John Kropczyk. And John, today we're going to be talking about a topic that I don't think a lot of people think about. It is a trend in America. And the trend is, and you and I are baby boomers, that baby boomers are divorcing at a stunning rate. Now, do you see it in your circle of friends?
No, this is surprising because this is the time where the kids are out of the house. You're kind of thinking about retirement and what you want to do for the future and stuff. It's kind of shocking, I think.
Well, you think that a lot of people have gone through the tough stuff. I mean, you've raised the kids together. You've struggled financially, and maybe you're on a better keel today. And so you say to yourself, hey, these are the good times. Now it's all us. Those certain people might recognize when the kids are out of the house and the struggles are over and you've stopped concentrating on those things and you look across the table and you say, I don't like this person anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I haven't experienced
that. No, I haven't either. But John, I could imagine that if you hide behind a lot of those issues, then maybe it's all stark and naked. Maybe, I'm not talking about the person across from you, of course. I'm certainly not naked across from you right now. But my point is that a lot of people kind of suffer in silence, we're told. And a lot of women aren't going to put up with that anymore, John.
Yeah, I don't know. All I'm saying is this is all a surprise to me. So,
well, think about it now, John. Statistically speaking, I mean, we are healthier. We're living a lot longer. And there are certain people who say maybe marriage was really a great concept when it lasted 20, 30, 40 years.
Right.
But when it goes on 50 and 60 years, and we often change in our lifetimes, maybe we kind of change away from the person we were who really wanted that kind of mate. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. You got me stumped on this one.
Well, that's why.
I'll have to learn about this.
Well, believe me, we've got a great expert on this topic, attorney Jacqueline Newman. And she's a New York City-based divorce lawyer. She's seen it all. She has represented women, men. She's written books like Soon to Be Ex, A Woman's Guide to Her Perfect Divorce and Relaunch, Soon to Be Ex for Men, Preserving Wealth, Fatherhood, and Sanity During Divorce. I mean, she's really looked at this from both sides now, like Judy Collins.
Is that what that song was about?
Well, we're going to look at the graying of divorce, and this is a topic that you haven't heard probably anywhere else.
Never. Anywhere.
But it's real. It's real. It's going on. So it's going on, America Trends. Joining us on America Trends is attorney Jacqueline Newman. She's a New York City-based divorce attorney, and she's very experienced in matrimonial law, and she's a managing partner of a top-tier Fifth Avenue Manhattan law firm focusing exclusively on divorce. And the phenomenon that we want to talk to you about and the trend in America is baby boomers getting divorced at a higher rate. What do you think the reason for that is?
I think what's happening is that a lot of people, a lot of women, let's say, are now entering the workforce, and they're in a situation where there's more unrest than there used to be, and expectations are changing. And so I think that what's going on is that a lot of people, couples and, you know, men and women, are both kind of looking at their marriages in different ways than they may have previously. And I think that that's causing people to be in a situation of saying, you know, I'm not happy and I don't have to stay in this marriage forever. And that's causing a lot of divorce.
And when we look at previous generation, there were a lot of folks who stayed together, but they were very unhappily married. Wouldn't you suggest that was the case?
Absolutely. And I think also the other thing that adds to this is social media. So, you know, that obviously didn't exist previously. So now you have people that are going on Facebook and seeing what they see as all these other, what they'll see to be as perfect marriages. I call it Facebook perfect. And because of that, I think that people, you know, it causes more unrest because I think everybody else is in such happy relationships. And it also gives you the opportunity to connect with people that you might not have connected with before. So I think that's also a factor.
So we're all lying to each other about that. But nonetheless, certain people are buying the vision. But what about, though, I must say this, Jacqueline, I must say this. I've been happily married for 40 years, and it continues, and I want the journey to go to the end. I really do. So let me ask
you. Oh, that's
so nice. A lot of people are living longer. We know that. What impact is that having?
I think that's having another, you know, a good, big impact as well. Because first of all, I think that people feel, you know, they're 60 or they're 70 years old and they feel I've got another 20 years in me. You know, I don't want to spend that kind of time with somebody else. And I think in the past that wasn't the case. Not to mention, obviously, with healthcare and people being more health conscientious, you have a lot of people that, you know, are looking really great for, you know, their ages and are ultimately in a situation where energy levels are higher and people are just, you know, more revving to go.
Are we looking at women fleeing men? Are we looking at men more predominantly fleeing women? It sounds to me like you're thinking women are really kind of awakening, and maybe the guys are still kind of just slumbering on the couch, and they're trying to get away from them.
You know, I think that what's happening, it seems that there's more women, because I think previously there was much more of the stereotype that men left women. And now that there are more women leaving men, it seems like there's all these women leaving them. But in fact, I would say it's probably, you know, I would say if looking at like my clientele, I would say that probably still more men leave women, but it's close. I mean, it's a very small margin.
Now, how do we look at divorce among baby boomers, those who divorced early on and might look at it again because some of these second marriages don't work out? So we had a higher rate as baby boomers than a previous generation.
Right. So basically what ends up happening is that if you know, the statistics show, and I don't know the exact numbers, but they do show that the likelihood of a second marriage lasting is less than obviously a first marriage. So whether it's because, you know, you can envision divorce at this point, so you feel like you could do it again, whether, you know, you just aren't the marrying type or whatever it might be, the odds are just better. So in a situation like that, I would agree with you. I think that there just is more divorce now than there just was before.
Is there any stigma left as it relates to divorce? I mean, religious, societal, or is that all gone?
So you raise a really good point. I would say that's actually the other factor is no. I think that divorce, you know, look, I mean, I can't say it's a pleasant experience and I wouldn't recommend it for anyone, but I can say that I do think that the stigma of it is gone. And I think that it's so commonplace. I mean, when you're looking at over a 50% divorce rate, you have to see it. Everybody knows somebody that got divorced. And so because that's happening, I think that, again, you're in a situation that it just makes it, I mean, I hate to use the word easier, but it makes it easier to divorce much, much more so than it was in the past.
And when we talk about gray divorce, are we really talking about people who are in the go-go period of retirement, that they really make these decisions more in their 60s, by 70s? Are they still really looking to get out, or 80s? Is that even possible? I mean, is it much more in the 60-plus range?
You know, I would say in the late 50 to 60 plus range. I mean, I do have some divorces that I've done of people that are in their 80s. I mean, it definitely does happen. Does it happen as often? Probably not. I think what happens in the 50s is that, first of all, you have a lot of people that have gotten married later, and so therefore they're having children and they're a little older. And the big time of divorce, or a big time of divorce, is when the children all go to school. And so once the kids go to college, the parents look at each other and they're no longer in the business of raising children. And then they sit at the kitchen table and they're like, so, and they realize they haven't had a real conversation.
Who are you?
In the last 20 years. Exactly. And so I think that causes a lot of issues. And you're seeing that more with people that are older than they were before because of the fact that they're having children older. So that's kind of where that's coming from.
It's a really interesting point, because I thought every time we sent one of our children off to college, we had to redefine our relationship. And we've been able to do that. But it's not easy, because these stages, you can really lose yourself in your relationship and hide behind what you're doing for the family as a whole.
Absolutely. I mean, children are a huge buffer in any awkward conversation. And not to mention the fact that, again, I used the phrase before, but you're in the business of raising children. I mean, everybody's, you know, one person's taking one kid to soccer practice, the other one's going to ballet rehearsal, and you're kind of running around. And so there's not that much time to sit and really spend together. And, you know, with people, with both parties working now more often than not, again, you know, everybody's just so incredibly busy. And then you add social media onto it, which also puts people in less of a situation that they're going to communicate directly. So you add all these factors together, and yeah, it's very hard for people to, I mean, it's very easy for people to grow apart and very hard to keep them together.
Folks, the Pew Research Center tells us that the divorce rate for adults ages 50 and older has roughly doubled in the past 25 years. So this is a trend that is having tremendous impact. And I do want to talk about the finances of this. But before we get to that, what about the children? I mean, even though in most of these cases, the children are older, and I know you as a divorce attorney deal with the issues related to children, is there still a lingering impact, even if somebody 18, 19, 25, 35?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, you have to realize, again, another thing that's happening more with these generations is that you have these children coming back. So, you know, it's not as if the kid graduates college and then goes off and gets a job and you never see them again. Most children move back home. So even though they're quote-unquote adults and they're, you know, they've graduated, they're still living at home and they're involved in what's going on in the family. And so I actually think it could be harder because they're not going to adjust in the same way that they would if they were six or seven or something like that. So, you know, and they get involved. You know, I have a lot of cases where when we do have older people getting divorced, the kids are involved. They're coming to meetings. They side with one parent. I mean, it's awful, but it happens a lot.
Do you see any, because I did another podcast on this topic, do you see much in the way of parental alienation with these older children, and do you see it at all?
Yes, I do. I see it. I actually have a case right now where it's happening. Because what will happen is that a parent who's going through this type of divorce will rationalize that this is an adult child. I can speak to this child now. This child's more my friend. And they don't feel the need to protect as they would with, say, a 7 or 8-year-old. So because of the fact that they feel like they can tell them everything going on, that causes an alienation. And a lot of times, if you do have one child, let's say, that's still living in the home and with that one parent all the time and the other parent's off, they're going to feel the need to protect. And so it does. I mean, I think actually it almost happens worse with older children because, again, they get more access to more information. People, you know, parents don't curve it in the same way. And they feel that they're older and they feel they can understand things in a way that you wouldn't be explaining to a 6 or 7-year-old.
Attorney Jacqueline Newman is with us. We're talking about the phenomenon of gray divorce. Before we do move on to finances, and that is a really important issue, societally, what does this mean in terms of housing and living arrangements and the like? How much have you seen, perhaps in New York City, dramatic changes, even in the social scene, by virtue of the fact that there are so many people at an older age who are back out and they are looking for relationships?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole social network that is created that wouldn't have been in existence, you know, 10, 20 years ago. You know, it's very commonplace for you to be out and see people in different, you know, in different, whether it be different clubs, whether it be specific restaurants. I mean, there's much more of a pickup scene of people of that age than there ever was before. So you are seeing people that are socializing in a way. And again, with online dating and all of that, it's easy. For people, or easier, shall I say, for people that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, et cetera, to date and to be able to find people. And that would have been harder before, but now all they've got to do is click on the computer.
Now, we find that too many women still are letting their husbands make the long-term financial decisions, leaving them somewhat vulnerable if, in fact, there is a separation or a death or a divorce. What are the implications of this?
Yeah, it's very, very common. So the implications are that, you know, I can speak specifically in divorce is that, you know, if we're going to speak about women specifically, once they get divorced, they have never even written a check before. They don't have any idea about their finances. It's incredibly overwhelming to them. And, you know, and unfortunately, I see very often that, you know, especially we deal in the high net worth space, so we have people that will be receiving large checks, and they don't know what to do with it. And it makes me very nervous when they go to some financial advisor. Some are fantastic, but some aren't. And it just really, and they're so vulnerable that they're just looking for somebody to basically put them on the same allowance that their spouse did, just say, take my money and just make sure I get X amount every month. and that's all they want to do. They have no idea about what's going on. They sign, you know, they just sign things. They don't know what fees are. They don't know what any of it is. And they're so overwhelmed about everything else going on in their lives at the time that the idea of all of a sudden getting an MBA in, you know, finance is not something they're interested in doing.
Does that put them at a great disadvantage when it comes even to the negotiation about the divorce? Because much of it deals with assets.
It can. I mean, one thing that, you know, I know that we're very sensitive to is when we're in that situation where we're dealing with someone that's not as financially savvy as the other person, we will bring in specialists to sit and explain it to them and explain it to them in a way that they're going to understand it, not just keep talking big words to them and talking acronyms and all of that. Like really sitting and saying, this is how much you spend, this is how much you need, this is how much you have. You know, what are your goals? Are your goals to have money at the end of the day? Are your goals to leave money to your children? Do you want to do charitable things? Like, we try to really empower the people that are not financially savvy and kind of demystify it as best as we can. So, again, when they walk into the meeting on their own, yes, they could be at a disadvantage. But if they're properly educated or represented by those that really are familiar with it, then they can be okay.
It's interesting because my wife ran her own business for many years, and she's very savvy, but she really had not a lot of interest in investing. And whenever we get on with our advisors and all, I bring her into that conversation, not because I think it's likely we're going to get divorced, I'm hoping never, but because I probably are going to leave the scene a little bit sooner than she is. And I just want to make certain she is aware of what I've been doing, and she understands it, and cares about it, but she does still leave it generally to me. How important is it for couples before they get divorced to really be communicating on these financial issues? And a woman, even if she's not interested in being at least a party to it, if not the driver of it?
I think it is important. Is it something that they have to do? No, because you know what? They may have other strengths that it's not as if their husband's a girl all of a sudden going to get involved in. So I think that they should have a basic knowledge of the assets that exist. I think if you can get them interested enough in the theory as to why you're investing in certain ways, that would be great. But if not, the other thing that could be very important is making sure that they have a relationship with the financial advisor that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it be something that they're going to feel comfortable turning to this person who you've been working with for years and feel comfortable saying, like, I need this and I need that, and, you know, and ask the questions they need to do. So when you're picking a financial advisor, I tell, you know, my clients who, you know, especially when we're dealing with prenuptial agreements and they're saying, well, what do I do? I say, I want you to pick the financial advisor together. Let it be someone that you trust and you think is very smart and good at their job, but also let it be someone that your spouse is going to be comfortable with, because they're, you know, if they're never going to understand that stuff, that's okay, because you know what? Not everybody does. But they just have to know the right person who understands it and trust the right person who understands it, and then they can be okay.
In the Bloomberg study that I'm referring to, of the divorced and widowed women in the survey who remarried, 8 out of 10 were more active in the financial decision-making in their current relationship. How many people are on guard the second time and say, wait a minute, I'm really going to take more responsibility for the finances this time? And are there generally prenups as it relates to remarriages, even at an older age?
Yes. Yeah, so I would say that when you're getting into a second marriage, again, depending on what your experience was with the first. I mean, if you found yourself, you know, completely blindsided by the money and had no idea what was going on and it scared you enough to become educated, then I would absolutely say number two, you're going to be educated. As for prenups, I mean, they're very, very common in second marriages. You know, usually you want to be protecting your assets in the event of your death if you have children, or if you own a business, or if you're coming from really different financial means. So they're very common. I mean, prenups in general, I'm finding today, I mean, they're a huge part of my practice, you know, especially in New York City. So I would say that to us, they're very, very commonplace. I would say the majority of our clients have them.
And I think a lot of people forget to update their wills and trusts, and they've got to be very careful that they're not leaving everything to their first spouse as opposed to their new spouse or their children or whatever. You want to give some advice on that?
Yeah, the advice is pretty basic. Make sure you update your papers. The day that you get divorced, you should be definitely not only calling your divorce attorney and not only opening, you know, breaking out your champagne, but you should be also calling your trust and estate attorney and making sure that everything is updated, making sure, I tell people, you know, make sure you change your passwords. Like, you are starting fresh. And so, but I agree with you. I think that that happens a lot where people just forget to change their retirement beneficiaries, forget to change their, you know, their proxy documents, their health proxy documents, their wills, everything. And, you know, especially because you're, you know, these are all very overwhelming times. And, you know, there's just so much on your plate, you know, when you're going through this kind of process. But that's got to be one of the things that's on the list of something you do.
We'll return to this episode of America Trends in just a moment. If you like what we're doing here at America Trends Podcast, please don't keep it to yourself. I know there are a lot of people, John, who think, well, if I'm listening and somebody else wants to listen at the same time, maybe we're going to collide and they're not going to be able to hear us.
Yeah.
Is that the way the technology works?
No, there's plenty of bandwidth. Everybody can listen at the same time.
All right. Well, that dispels that myth. Now, you can do a number of things that would really be helpful to us. You could give us a kind rating or a review at Apple Podcasts, and that boosts what they consider to be our value and visibility. And what does that do, John?
Well, that puts us in the forefront so that you can find us easier, and most important is other people can find us easier.
And you can subscribe there or on our site, americatrendspodcast.com, or wherever you're listening, so we can alert you to new episodes of the podcast, which, by the way, we put out twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Or you can like us on Facebook or follow us where, John?
On Twitter.
On Twitter, that's right, where the world turns to hear fake news or whatever it is. Well, you can direct message us at Trends Podcast or using hashtag Trends Podcast. And you know, John, with our growing audience, and really it's been pretty remarkable, a lot of people just came to us the last month or two and they might have missed earlier episodes. Can they get them again?
They can look through them and pick the ones they want to listen to. They're all on the website, and a lot of them are up on iTunes, many of them.
All right. Well, listen, there's lots of material to listen to. We hope you have the time, and we'll lend it to us because we try to make it worth your while. And thanks so much for listening.
And tell your friends.
We now return to this episode of America Trends.
During these great divorces, how surprised are people at some of the things that may have been going on that they were unaware of? And are they more surprised at hidden spending that was going on by their spouse, or more debt or hidden accounts that they didn't know about? What do you see?
You know, again, when you're dealing with people that are, you know, one we say is in the financial dark and the other one, you know, is completely running the finances. I found, at least in the divorce spectrum, is that, you know, sometimes there's a lot more money than they ever thought, because I've had a bunch of cases, a lot recently, where the husband was earning, you know, significant income, but was so ran the family on such a tight budget that it was shocking to these women to find out they had many, many millions of dollars when they were clipping coupons for, you know, in the supermarket. And so I've had a few of those recently, and it actually causes a lot of resentment because they say, you know, I would have lived my life differently. Not to say that I would have spent everything, but I wouldn't have felt so guilty for every single thing I ever purchased if I had any idea of how much money, you know, was really in the marital pot. So you see a lot of that. Do you see a lot of spending? I mean, yes, I think that, you know, a lot of times people are surprised at how much is being spent. And again, resentment does arise if ultimately you have one person who's spending all this money on clothing and restaurants and blah, 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 and then making such a big deal about the other person spending money. So, you know, and obviously in a divorce, that becomes a big issue. So you see a lot of, I would say, both of it. But more often than not, you know, you probably do have people that are surprised that there is as much spending as there is. And as for hidden accounts, you know, a lot of people don't even know that they existed, didn't know what the accounts were, so they didn't know that they were hidden. You know, it's just kind of like it's all being discovered at the same time.
Do you find that women in particular in their late 50s, early 60s, if they've been in a relationship and maybe it went bad and it was good at one time, that they want to get into another commitment and that they feel marriage is a necessity? Or are they looking at it saying, we don't have to get married, there's nothing, we're not going to have children together? What do you see happening?
I actually see more men want to get married than women in this stage. And I think part of that is men often, especially if they've been in long-term relationships, you know, they're used to being in long-term relationships. They're used to having that kind of camaraderie. They're used to having, you know, somebody to share their home with and, you know, sometimes depending on the nature of the relationship, maybe having someone that cooks for them and takes care of them and the home needs. Women probably less so. I think that at least what I'm seeing, you know, and again, you know, I'm dealing in a clientele where people are very, you know, they're wealthy. So they're in a situation where there's not a dependency on money. And yeah, I am finding people that are saying exactly that. They're saying, you know what, I have enough money. I enjoy your company, but I don't see any reason to get married.
Now, how many times have you seen somebody come back to you and say, yeah, well, that first one didn't work out, but the second one didn't either. And do you see them falling into some of the same patterns from the first one? They said, I'm going to strike out on my own and find a new type of person, but they end up going back to what they know and what's more comfortable.
Yeah, so basically I've had a few repeat customers. And so I've had someone who I've done their divorce, then their prenup, then their divorce, then their prenup. And honestly, considering the way he handled himself in his divorce, I mean, in his last prenup, he'll probably have another divorce. But yes, you'll find people that will either go in polar opposite directions, thinking that that's going to be okay, but they go so extreme that that's not okay either. Or yes, whether they mean it or not, they definitely fall into the same pattern. I mean, they talk about, you know, prisoners, how a lot of times if you live in jail for a long time, you'll commit another crime just to go back because as bad as it is, it's kind of your norm.
Three hots and
like
a cop.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, there you go. Attorney Jacqueline Newman, we're talking about divorce, particularly at an older age. Is there anything else that we haven't discussed that you think would be helpful to people who are listening to our podcast?
I think you've really covered a lot, I have to say. I mean, I would just say that I think it is important to, while you don't, again, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but while you don't have to know everything about the finances, you should know what's there. You should have an idea of what the assets are. You should have some rough idea of what your spending is. I mean, just because you also don't want to be in a situation that you think everything's fine and you think you have enough money to live on, and then you get divorced and you only have half of what you thought, and now you realize that you're really in a not in as safe a position as you thought you were. So I think it's just important to have the knowledge. Again, you don't have to understand every stock and bond and everything like that, but I think that you should have general knowledge at all times.
Attorney Jacqueline Newman, some great advice. We're talking, of course, during this podcast about the rise of gray divorce, and it forces a financial reckoning for many after the age of 50, 55. Thank you so much for being a part of America Trends.
Thank you.